Thank you, Warwick. I'm hesitant to interrupt the reading and the teaching of the reading, but can I encourage everyone, if you would like to stand, turn around, say hello, or sit, turn around, say hello. Let's stretch our legs. We've been sitting down for a while. Okay, 3, 2, 1. Is that? I learned that at Summer Thrills this week. You're very good at that. We might have to do that more often. Josh, you're out of breath. Running around saying hello to everyone. Okay, Matthew 20, 1 to 16. If you've got the Bible there in front of you, it might be helpful to grab it and open it. Someone got a page number?
976.
976, thank you. So we're continuing our sermon series on parables of the kingdom, and today we're thinking about vineyard workers from that Matthew 21 to 16. Let me say a prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please teach us about the kingdom of heaven today so that we might have the right perspective in life and choose the door of wisdom. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And we begin with how to win at life. From a young age, we learn and are taught that life is about winning. Here's some quotes. If winning isn't everything, why do they keep score? Vince Lombardi. I noticed that he keeps coming up on these quotes. I think he was a basketball or NFL? NFL? Gridiron? Winning isn't everything, but the will to win is everything. The person that said winning isn't everything never won anything. That one's not Vince, someone else that I had never heard of. Does anyone know Mia?
Soccer player.
Soccer player, thank you. And Vince Lombardi again, winning isn't everything, it is the only thing. He won a lot. There are endless resources to help you to be a winner. Here is one. The blurb from this book, from the magazine synonymous with Looking Sharp and Living Smart, comes the definitive handbook of skills for the modern man. So sorry, ladies, this is for the men only. Based on interviews with the world's foremost authorities, including Richard Branson, Jamie Oliver, Tracy Emin, Andy McNab, Tom Daly, Alistair Campbell, Dynamo, and many others, step-by-step illustrated guides show you how to win at fashion, sport, food and drink, work, romance, travel and the unexpected. You will learn how to master sushi etiquette, how to neutralize a crisis, how to fold a suit for crease-free travel, how to give a killer foot massage, how to win big at the casino, how to dance without looking like your dad, how to get quality sleep on a night flight, how to ace the job interview, how to survive a kidnapping, plus dozens of other insider tips. It's hard to know if this is serious or not, isn't it? Another way of saying winning at life is being first. People want to be first in life. So Jesus' teaching, greats. The last will be first and the first will be last. This is the punchline of our parable today. And it has plenty of punch in our culture. We don't want to be at the back of the queue. We don't want to be mediocre. We want to be above average, which reminds me of one of my favourite stats. Apologies to those who've heard this before and recently. That 80% of Australian men believe that they are above average at sport. Some of us want to be winners first, all of the time, in everything. But the last will be first and the first will be last, Jesus says. In the kingdom of heaven, things will be reversed, turned on their head, subverted. How so? Well, let's look a little more closely at the parable, chapter 20, verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius, which is about a day's work, for the day, and sent them into his vineyard. The landowner in our parable is God. The vineyard is his kingdom. The hired workers are, well, those who put in a full day are those who have been working in God's kingdom over a long period of time. The Jewish religious leaders of Jesus' day, who had been in charge for centuries and were still in charge in Jesus' day, the priests, the scribes, the teachers of the law, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, etc., etc. So the religious establishment of Israel. They had been doing the hard yards, putting in a full day's work, if you like. The Johnny-come-latelys, those who got the gig late in the day, are the disciples. Jesus 12, the apostles and other disciples with them. They were the new kingdom workers. Unschooled, they definitely didn't go to the right schools. And how did the religious establishment react when they found out that there were new workers in the vineyard receiving the same benefit? Skipping down to verse 11. When they received it, that is their denarius, they began to grumble against the landowner. These who were hired last worked only 1 hour, they said, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day. Grumbling against God is such a common thing, isn't it? We can think of many examples in the Bible of those who grumbled against God, and we are just as capable ourselves. We can grumble about all sorts of things. Why is this bad thing happening to me? It's not happening to them. Why me? Why isn't that good thing happening to me? it's happening for them, why not me? It's not fair. Grumbling often has that at its heart, doesn't it? It's not fair. You're not fair, God. But what does the parable teach us? God is never unfair. But he answered one of them, "I am not being unfair to you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius?" More than that, the parable teaches us that God is generous. Take your pay and go. I want to give the one who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money, or are you envious because I am generous? Our God always operates between fairness and generosity. If we have a spectrum like this, unfair, fair, generous, we know that we can operate anywhere on this spectrum. We are capable of being fair. We're certainly capable of being unfair, and in our better moments, we can be generous. But God only operates between fair and generous. He never moves into unfairness. So our grumbling is misplaced. Our accusing God of being unfair is misplaced. He is either fair or generous. And he is free to be generous to whoever he likes. God's generosity. This is true materially. God is free to bless whoever he wishes. And it is certainly true spiritually. When it comes to the kingdom of heaven, he can include whoever he wishes. He can save the worst of sinners. The Apostle Paul, who was so envious that he persecuted Christians, he'd even had them killed, God showed him grace, forgave him and saved him and transformed him, made him a worker in his heavenly vineyard. When I was in high school, I would have been voted one of the least likely to become a Christian. But God showed me a sinner who had turned my back on God to live life my own way. He showed me grace, undeserved generosity, and he called me to live for Christ, to be a worker in his vineyard. And the same for you. Every single one of you who are Christians have experienced God's generosity, his grace in Jesus Christ. And by that grace, you are now kingdom workers. Praise God. God saves sinners. He saves them when they are young. He saves them when they are old. The beginning of life, the end of life, the last hour, God's grace is always available. He saves the least likely, those who are last when it comes to ticking religious boxes, those who are last in the world's eyes, the losers and winners. God's grace is available to all. It's available to you. If you are here today and not yet Christian, it's not too late. God's generosity extends to you today. You might think it's too late for me. I'm beyond the pale. You don't know what I've done. You don't know what I'm like. That's true. I don't know, but God does. God knows. yet he is still willing to show you grace, undeserved generosity. You can be forgiven through Christ and belong to his kingdom. Receive what he offers today. It's never too late. That's the final lesson we all need to take from this parable. Well, this, I should say, is avoiding envy. Those who had been workers in the vineyard for some time were envious because of the landowner's generosity. He shows amazing grace to the Johnny-come-latelys. And over the years, I have seen very conservative Christian communities find it very difficult to welcome individuals who don't fit the mould. Those who have been converted in recent times out of very alternative backgrounds. Our churches are often filled with people who have been Christians forever, who have grown up living decent, upright, godly Christian lives. But of course, the majority out there haven't lived like that, aren't living like that. And if and when they are converted by the grace of God, they might be quite different to us. They won't tick all the religious boxes. They won't be Sydney Anglican establishment, if you like. This Anglican church, that Anglican church, this church school, that conference, this person, that person, all of our Christian networks. It'll be all foreign to them because they are new to it all, different, not like us. As an Anglican minister, I have to be particularly careful of this. I am Anglican establishment. I certainly wasn't when I was converted. I found it very hard to belong as a newly converted 19-year-old who had no church backgrounds. I knew nothing about church culture, but now I'm very much church establishment with lots of connections and networks. I need to take extra care to welcome and connect with those who are different from me, who come from very much outside of our church culture, who are new to Christianity. We all need to take extra care to welcome and connect because most of us would qualify as this church's church establishment. We've been working away at it for 5, 10, 15, 20 plus years. We've experienced God's grace and have been transformed by it over time. We don't want to envy God's grace to new believers. We want to rejoice in it. Caring and welcoming and connecting those who are new recipients of God's superabundant grace. We want to rejoice that God is adding new fellow members of the kingdom of heaven, not grumble. We want to hear stories of new converts and learn from them. Every story teaches us more about the beauty and depth of the grace of God. More than that, we want to rejoice that God is adding new fellow workers in the vineyard. Not grumble. Why would we grumble? New energy, new gifts, new strengths. We saw this during the week with new members on the Summer Thrills team and working in the kitchen to support the ministry. It's true church-wide as well. As God adds to us and works to create new workers in the vineyard right here in Terry Hills, new people will be reached for Christ. Different backgrounds, different life stories. God will extend our reach as we reach out with the glorious gospel of grace. The grace of God that is available to the very last, it's never too late. You can receive it at the 11th hour. The grace of God that is available not only to the religious establishment, the lifelong churchgoers, but to the least likely, the worst of sinners, to the broken, those who come last in our world. Our God is a God who wonderfully turns things upside down. He works counter to our world. As the Lord of the vineyard says, so the last will be first, and the first will be last. Amazing grace. Let's stand and sing.